This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
Here at Audi, we have some good news to share with the world. Unfortunately, our good news is bad news for our competition. So to soften the blow, we brought in the very best at delivering bad news. Someone's mom.
The Audi A4 is the biggest, fastest, most fuel-efficient car in its class. Oh, honey, I know it's hard to hear, but it'll be okay.
I'm David Jones, inviting you to test drive an impressive new Audi A4 Premium today at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at GeraldJonesAudi.com. Audi. Truth in engineering.
I do like to remind people that there was a time when Dottie Pepper once played golf. She won 17 times on the LPGA, including a couple of major championships. For the last 10 years, Dottie has covered the game of golf for NBC Sports, Golf Channel, ESPN, and next year she adds the CBS golf team to her calendar. It's a pleasure to welcome Dottie Pepper back to the Augusta Golf Show. Hello, Dottie.
Hello, JP. How are you?
You know, I'm great. I'm so happy. I couldn't be happier for you. Congratulations on all of this.
Thank you. It's kind of the alphabet soup of golf broadcasting now that I listen to it all in a row.
Just look at your mic flag.
Yes, exactly. And make sure you have the right shirt on.
I want to get to a little of that. But first of all, you for ESPN, and you're still going to be working for ESPN, you
yes.
went over to the Asian Amateur to cover that. In Hong Kong. First of all, let me apologize. I think it was on from 3 to 5 in the morning, and I didn't see much of your work. I'm sure you were fabulous.
We were terrific. Yeah. I can't believe you didn't see it.
Yeah. Tell me about China.
Tell me about China. Well, you know, Hong Kong being not mainland China, it's a separate, it's its own somewhat free state, I suppose. Fascinating place. It's this massive convergence of old and new engineering miracles to see what they put on this incredibly steep and rugged terrain, and how they got that golf course specifically into that area was crazy. But I don't think we've seen nearly the even start of the impact that we're going to see once golf becomes as big in China as it has the potential to be.
Give me did you get a sense for how big it is over there?
Oh, absolutely. And I think the really neat thing is that the golf public there is pretty well educated. They know their golf. They were really respectful of the players on the course, and they consume everything they can get their hands on. So I think golf's going to be better for what's going to happen in China. And good on the folks from the RNA and Augusta National for recognizing that that's a big, big growth spot.
Are there a lot of, did you get a sense of a lot of golf courses in China?
Well,
I know you were in Hong Kong.
We were in Hong Kong where there's only 5 golf courses.
Okay.
And 2 of which, if I'm not mistaken, are public. This one will actually be listed, Clearwater Bay, as semi-public. There'll be certain days during the week that they will be open for public play at a very large cost, but they will have public access. That was something that the government mandated. China itself is mainland China is in a weird place right now golf-wise because the government has shut down so many golf course projects that were in the works. So I don't know if that will stifle with the potential, but certainly the driving range culture that was so big in Japan and Korea is in existence there.
When you say it's expensive to play, I assume that it does shut out a major portion of the population.
At $500 U.S. per day, that would eliminate a lot of people, yes.
We are talking with Dottie Pepper here on the Augusta Golf Show. All right, let's talk about your new gig, CBS. This all kind of came together quickly?
It came together very quickly. And I think it was a business deal, it was also very much a people deal because of the sensitivity of all of it with my situation at ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
And wanting to keep the entire thing above board. I needed ESPN's blessing to even start a conversation with CBS.
Hmm.
And my bosses didn't hesitate for 2 minutes. And the whole working together to share me for SportsCenter when I would already be on site for certain CBS events, going the Masters, the PGA Championship, it was all literally shepherded person to person. And I can't say enough about the way Mike McQuaid at ESPN and John Wildhack at ESPN worked together with Sean McManus at CBS and got this deal done in not only a crazy fast manner, but the spirit of the whole thing was beyond terrific.
You know, as you say that, Dottie, it strikes me it probably is a reflection of television, of broadcasting, of sporting events that we now watch. I mean, I would tend to think all of these fellows who head up these networks, you know, everything's looked at a little individually. Everything's looked at
sure.
in and of itself. And if you being in both of these properties makes the event itself better, then they're both going to win by this.
I think that's right. And if you look at how the landscape of golf television has changed over the last just 3 years, with Fox entering the arena, with ESPN sort of contracting out of their live golf, with the exception of the two big amateur events that are on that global stage, and NBC getting the Open Championship, and I can't commend my folks at ESPN enough for recognizing that that was going on and giving me the opportunity to still do what I think I figured out most of the summer, was that I still love to call live golf.
David Faraday stepping away, moving over to NBC and Golf Channel. So your primary role at CBS will be on the course?
That's correct. I will have some booth time, according to Sean, but none of that has been completely ironed out. What I do know is that I will work 20 tournaments just Saturday, Sunday, with the exception of the Masters and the PGA Championship. So this is like the best weekend gig you could possibly ever have with two major championships involved. I'm crazy lucky.
So just as we think about the Masters, do you envision doing booth work Thursday and Friday for ESPN and then booth work Saturday and Sunday for CBS?
Don't know. That has not been decided yet. I do know I'll be doing SportsCenter from Augusta,
okay.
as I have the past 2 years, so that part won't change a bit. So they'll just be really long days. I'll be sun up to sundown on site, but that's a pretty good place to have
yeah,
to do that.
You know, I've done 31 of these things, and people say to me, God, that must be so much fun. And come with me. You know, please, spend the week with me. And I'm not digging a ditch, and I'm not complaining.
They're just long weeks, but they're wonderful weeks.
Yeah. About 3 years ago, you stepped away from doing this full-time, and no network mm-hmm. does more golf than CBS, and you've kind of alluded to the fact now, just working on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
But you've stepped back into it big time, though.
I have stepped back into it big time. And the time is part of what was really important for me to sort of figure out, because my time with the PGA of America ends next month. November 13th is my last day as a board member. And I'll be honest with you, there's been a lot more travel with the PGA than I had thought there would be 3 years ago. And that in and of itself created the days to be able to do this for CBS. And it's also extremely attractive to me, living where I do in upstate New York, that CBS makes one trip to the West Coast each year. They're out there for 4 weeks or 3 weeks. Well, it'll be 3 weeks this year because CBS has the Super Bowl and NBC will do the Phoenix event.
Okay.
But once we come to Augusta National, CBS doesn't venture any further west than Dallas for the rest of the year.
Right.
That's, for me, that was another huge thing. In addition to the two major championships, I think I'm going to be able to get home on Sunday nights, and if not, first thing Monday, and have a couple of days at home. Do you know my little hobbit thing, and my garden thing, and all that sort of stuff, and have a pretty normal life while doing just a crazy amount of golf.
If stories have been written, things have been said, points have been made. about you and a woman covering the Masters. And I'm not going to speak for you. I know better than that. but I don't want to say it doesn't matter to you, but I guess you want to put it in some sort of perspective.
Oh, well, I'm tickled over the whole thing. But what I've said and is that this isn't the first time I'll be doing something from Augusta National. It'll actually be because I did 1 year for Golf Channel on their live from stuff, and then the last 2 years for ESPN. But what broadcaster wouldn't want to have an opportunity to be at what many consider the greatest golf tournament in the world, or one that means the most to the most amount of people? This is a broadcaster's dream, not a woman's dream.
Right.
I don't look at it that way. You're right.
And you and I know how some of it works out there on Washington Road. When you covered the Asian Amateur for ESPN, you know, in tantamount signed off by Augusta National, they think highly of you, and I'm sure that played a role in all of this.
Well, I'm very pleased with the relationship I do have with the folks there, and I've had a lot of fun covering those events, and you know, the Latin America event, the first year last year when we were down in Argentina, it was just, I love covering that sort of golf, and you know, to be able to do it with the directives that they see as being important about global amateur golf and growing the game. I mean, I'm thrilled. They're great events and they're great people to work with.
Before I let you go, let's discuss a little of your qualifications for this new new gig. The last time you played nine holes was when?
I played 18 holes last Monday.
No, you didn't.
I did. I played in an outing for Gary Player. Come on now.
Yeah, okay. All right.
And I didn't embarrass myself either.
You hit shots on every hole?
I hit more greens than I missed.
Huh?
And if the greens hadn't been 14, they were like a gust of fast, I probably wouldn't have been petrified every time I got above the hole. But no, I hit some really quality golf shots. I should say I surprised myself, but I hope I'm not. I haven't lost that much of my go-to shot anyway.
How much did you practice before then?
A couple days.
Okay.
No, I'm not going in there cold. I know that. But it was funny. My husband said, you know, I went to a public range, which was awesome.
Uh-huh.
There's an honor box out there. You dump $10 in there, you get this huge bucket of balls. And my husband texts me, and he said, well, did you find anything? I said, yes, I'm going to be just fine. My grip had gotten a little weak, and I kept hitting these little weak peelers out there. So I show me one more knuckle, and that ball started turning over beautifully. It sounded like a real golf shot.
Good for you. Was there any point where you said, where are my clubs?
No. I always keep a putter close by because I'll go mess around at the golf course.
All right, good for you.
Put on the carpet every once in a while, too. You know, golf's addicting. We know that, right?
Yes.
Even if you've done it for your entire life, there's still something about the feel of a new grip in your hand and listening to a real, really good golf shot. it never goes away.
I said in the beginning, I couldn't be happy for you. I'm looking forward to this. Dottie, congratulations on all of this. Thank you for taking the time
to
do this.
Thank you. Hey, we'll see you in April.
Yep.
Okay.